We will turn again in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John and the chapter 14. The Gospel according to John and the chapter 14. And we're coming to the well-known verse, verse 4. Jesus saith unto him, that is, Jesus saith to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. We need the Lord's help. Let us ask the Lord for that needed help to be given. Our gracious Father, we thank thee that we are able to turn to thy truth this evening. And, O Lord, we pray that the scriptures will be a fresh blessing to us. Take thy truth, we pray, and write it upon our hearts. Give that needed help of the Holy Spirit of God, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. In 1796 and 1797, Captain James Wilson was the captain of the Duff, a ship which transported missionaries for the London Missionary Society from London to what was often referred to then as the South Sea Islands, an area that we would more familiarly call today Polynesia. James Wilson came from a ship-faring family. His father was a captain, and as a young man, James had fought in the American War of Independence. Later, he was involved in work with the East India Company. At one time, when he was involved in that work with the East India Company, he was threatened with slavery from the French, but he managed to escape. And when he returned to England at the age of 34, he met a preacher by the name of John Griffin. And Griffin sought to present the gospel to him. And it was through this text, John 14, verse 6, that the Lord instrumentally drew this man unto himself. After his conversion, James Wilson developed a great heart for missionary work. He had a great burden for the lost, and he began to take an interest then in the work of the London Missionary Society. And as this particular need for a vessel was raised, he volunteered to captain that particular ship. But on the voyage, he said to the missionaries, dwell much on John 14, verse 6. Dwell much on John 14, verse 6. Jesus is the only source of life abundant for discouraged Christians, and the only source of eternal life and hope for a degraded race, the human race. I suppose, given the current protests in the world, Captain James Wilson would be regarded as a racist with the particular background that he came from, the involvement that he had in the East Indian Company and also transporting missionaries to those islands. But at that time, and for many years that followed, the islanders actually held him in highest esteem. They held him as a hero in the work that he did in establishing Christian work in what was called the South Seas. In coming to this text, it was my presumption that this would be an easy one to preach. Here is a clear gospel text. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But as I was reading through the passage, I realized that the text itself actually presents a problem, a challenge. I am the way, and the Greek has the idea, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, as we keep the words in isolation, there is no difficulty, but it's when we view the words in the context of the conversation that this difficulty or this challenge arises. Because we have to ask this question, are these three statements in one? So, is it Christ is the true way of life? Is that what the Lord is trying to convey? Now, it is true that Jesus Christ is the true way of life. And so, tying these words together, that is true. Christ is the true way of life. But that is neither an acceptable translation of the verse, and it is not the meaning. So, it is true. Jesus Christ is the true way of life, but that is not the translation or the meaning. Another view is that these statements are really independent. And so we look at the verse and we say, Christ is the way, Christ is the truth, Christ is the life. And that in itself would provide then an easy outline for a sermon. Christ is the way, Christ is the truth, Christ is the life. A number of commentaries that I read used an outline like this. Christ is the way, reconciliation. Christ is the truth, revelation or illumination. Christ is the life, regeneration. We ask the question, is the sinner in a state of alienation from God? Christ is the way. Is the sinner in need for illumination? Christ is the truth. Is the sinner dead? Christ is the life. Again, it is true to say that Christ is the way, Christ is the truth, Christ is the life. Evidently, that is the case, and there's nothing wrong with looking at the verse in that sense. But again, it's not actually getting to the heart of what Christ was saying in the context of the chapter. If you go back with me to chapter 13, and in the verse 33, little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. And I want you to notice these words, whither I go, ye cannot come. So it has to do with the journey. Then, in verse 36, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. And again, the Lord is speaking in this illustration that he is using of the idea of a journey. And I should say that it is likely that at least some of the disciples were still holding out this idea that the Lord would establish some type of political kingdom. And so it's likely that they had this blinded view that so many of the Jewish people had, that the Messiah was coming to establish a political kingdom. And so they wondered where the Lord was going to go to establish this kingdom, and why would he not bring them with him immediately? And maybe then this is why the disciples asked some of the questions that to us might seem very obvious, knowing the entire passage and what follows. But we come then to Thomas's question in verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And so this is the question. How can we know the way? And then at the end of verse 6, the Lord says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man comes. Again, it has the idea of a journey, of access. Now, if we bear in mind then that Thomas asks the question, how can we know the way? Jesus' answer is, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, if we are to say that all of these statements in verse 6 stand alone or could stand alone, how is the Lord saying, I am the truth, answering the question, how can we know the way? How does the Lord saying, I am the life, answer the question, how can we know the way? This is the difficulty of the verse. Now, I believe the answer is that when the Lord says, I am the way, that in itself is the answer. And the truth and the life are qualifying it. They're what we might call modifiers. And the Greek certainly would be in support of this particular suggestion that I'm putting before you. Hendrickson suggested a way for us to grasp this would be to use the word because. I am the way, because I am the truth, because I am the life. And so the chief idea of the verse is this: I am the way. No one comes on to the Father but by me. But I am the way because I am the truth. I am the way because I am the life. And so we have this chief idea set before us here. The Lord has said, I am going to the Father's house. I'm going to heaven. I am the way to heaven. Or for the sinner desiring to come to God, Jesus is saying, I am the way to heaven. He is emphasizing he is the mediator. And in all of these I am statements in the Gospel of John, Jesus is showing himself as the one that the Father has provided. And so too here, as Jesus said, I am the way. He is the mediator, the one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the way. And so I've entitled the message then, God's provision of a mediator. I want us to think first of all of the merciful nature of this provision. The merciful nature of this provision of a mediator. For as we put this statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, not just in the context of John 14, but in the context of the Bible in its entirety, surely we're brought right back to the opening chapters in Genesis. When Adam was in his fallen state, he knew what it was to have access to God. There was a way for Adam to know God, for Adam to enjoy God. And so Adam in his unfallen state knew the way to God, and we could say that he knew it because he knew the truth. He knew the one who is the truth. And so God was the great creator, but Adam fellowshipped with the truth. With the Creator. He also knew the life. God had given him physical life. There was set before him the opportunity for eternal life if he continued in the way of obedience. But again, we have this idea that God is not only the life giver, but God is life himself. On that basis, Adam knew this access. But it was sin then that brought this break. Sin caught Adam off from God. And when sin entered into the world then, the way to God was barred. And remember how that was set forth in the cherubim with the flaming sword. They kept the way. And so it's as if there was a way to God, but it was... It had a barrier. And God's truth was such, God's holiness was such, that man could not get beyond the barrier. God was life, but since man had heeded the lie, he was now in that state of spiritual death and physical death. He could not come to God. There needed to be the presentation of the gospel. Of course, the gospel was preached right back there in Genesis 3 as we have the death of the animal to provide the coverings. But here we have it then put so clearly in the New Testament. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. So the first Adam, his sin brought about a barrier. But Christ says, I am the one that has broken and torn away the barrier. I have opened up the way to God that the sinner might come. Because while Adam heeded the lie, and went in the way of falsehood, while Adam went in the way of spiritual death, Christ says, I am the truth. I am the life. Therefore, I am qualified to open up this way to God. This was indeed a gracious provision. It is a gracious provision. And if there's one tonight in the meeting and you're without the Lord, how thankful you should be that these words are in the Bible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The sinner does not deserve to hear a message like this. The sinner only deserves to see the sword. The sinner only deserves to be cast into everlasting destruction. And yet what a mercy that Christ would stand, as it were, and say, I'm the way. I've opened the way. This is merciful. But I want us to come then, secondly, and see the potent nature, the powerful nature of this provision. This is one of the great I am statements of the Gospel of John. Remember, the Gospel of John is very unique from the other three Gospels, and this is one way in which it is unique. We have these great I am statements. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the living bread, and so on. And remember how the Lord said in John 8:58, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus there was taking words and defying all the laws of grammar to emphasize a great truth, that he is the eternal one. Before Abraham was, I am. That is, Jesus did not say, before Abraham was, I was. But before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ, in his very essence, had no beginning. Yes, there was a beginning for his flesh, but not of his deity. And this brings us then right to the heart of the Gospel of John. Jesus is the I am. He is the Jehovah of Exodus chapter 3. The I am that I am. And so this way then is the way of the mediator. Jesus Christ is God. He has come from God for the good of man. And remember again, Jesus had spoken this to the disciples in the upper room. And we also have the words that John gives by way of introduction in John 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and he was come from God and went to God. So here is Jesus. He is the eternal Son of God, the I am. And he comes and he takes true human flesh in order to be the mediator. You see, as the mediator, he must represent God to man. He must, as it were, bring God to man. But he must represent man to God. And therefore, he must be both God and man. And man. And of course, we see in that how foolish it is for Romanism to teach that the priest can act as a mediator between God and man. Or for Mary to be a mediatrix between God and man. It's folly. Mary was not God. The priest is not God. We need Christ, the one who is the I am, and yet stood before his disciples here in flesh. He said, I am the way. But since we find then that he is God in flesh, here is the potency. Here is this ability to open up the way to God. Now, I mentioned that the emphasis here is on this idea of a journey. And so as we think of this word way in its most basic form, it is, or it does bring to us this idea of a journey. And so if we were to go from this building to the city centre, you would have to travel on Whitford's Avenue and down the Mitchell Freeway and take one of the city centre exits. The way is the root. And so this idea, when the Lord says, I am the way, we have this idea that there is a point of leaving and a point of arriving. And remember, there's a double emphasis here. It is leaving the place of sin. It is leaving our position on earth, and it is going, first of all, to heaven. Verse 2, my Father's house. And then it is going to God himself. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so to come to heaven and to come to the Father are one and the same thing. We can't get to God's heaven if we have not been brought to the Father. And so Jesus Christ, then, he says, I am this way because I am the truth. I am the truth. And the word truth in the Bible so often has the idea of faithfulness. God is true to himself. And so Christ is the truth. He's not only the one who declares truth, but he is the truth. And he is faithful to all the just demands of God. We could say that this statement, I am the way because I am the truth, it is emphasizing the Lord's sinless life. I am the truth. I have kept the law in its entirety. I have been faithful in the keeping of the law. So the first Adam was disobedient. He disobeyed. He went in the way of the lie. But Christ, he is obedient, and therefore he is the truth. The first Adam brought death, but Christ is the great life giver by pouring out his life. And in his glorious resurrection, he has demonstrated that he has all power in this very area of life. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Christ has all the power over death and life. And therefore he says, I am the way. I've opened it up. Because I'm the life. I'm the life. No mere man had that ability. If you turn with me then, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we have words that are very well known to us as the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 14. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. Remember, the word way has this idea of a journey. Christ has passed into the heavens. He has gone from the earth into the heavens. So he is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And as I said, these words are speaking to the child of God. Jesus Christ has entered into heaven. Thereby we are able to enter into God's presence in prayer. But while the application here is in relation to the Christian in prayer, there is also an application in the gospel. Jesus Christ has entered into heaven, therefore the way to heaven is opened up for the sinner. We could also say Jesus Christ has entered into heaven, the way is opened up that in our death that we will enter into heaven as well. If you turn then to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And so there is a way for us to enter. Christ has consecrated it for us through his own flesh entering in. And really the argument here is this: Christ has gone in his flesh. We then are able to enter by spirit in prayer. The sinner is able to come to God through this great entrance that Christ has had. And praise God, at the great resurrection day, we will enter in our bodies. Because Christ has opened this up in a new and living way. Verse 22, let us draw near. Let us draw near. And the way there is called a new and living way. And that is not to say the gospel was not preached in the Old Testament. It was. And the Old Testament saints, their souls have entered in. But it's new in the sense of its clarity. It's new in the sense of its reality. And so the Old Testament saints entered in on the basis of what Christ would do. But the saints today enter in on the basis of what Christ has done. In that sense, it is new. It is living. And surely we could also say of this way to God, it is free. It is free. There's no tolls on this way to God. In fact, if you want to pay, you can't get in. You have to be humbled enough to say that I have no means to pay with, that I come empty-handed, I have nothing to offer at the toll, as it were. And that is the key to entrance. We come and we recognize that we have to come on the basis of another, Jesus Christ himself. It's a free way. It's also a safe way. Any other way will lead to disaster. But this is a safe way. If we come to God through Christ, we will enter heaven. We will come to the Father. It's a pleasant way. In Proverbs 3, Christ is spoken there in terms of wisdom. Wisdom is personified. And it says of wisdom, her ways, and remember then it's Christ's ways, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. In contrast, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. And we see those that stubbornly refuse to come to God, God's way, and that they are not quick to admit it. But the truth is, the way of the transgressor is hard. There's nothing easy about the sinner being hard-hearted and refusing to come God's way. It's a miserable lifestyle. And yet, while the way of the Lord is difficult, it is at the same time a pleasant way. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And then it is the only way. And that brings us to my third point, the exclusive nature of this provision. The exclusive nature of this provision. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many have taken offense at these words? And they will say it's very exclusive, and it is. It's intended to be. Jesus says, I only am the way. Because I only am the truth. I only am the life. And so he is not merely saying I am pointing the way. He is saying I only am it. He is not only bringing truth, he is it. He is not only showing the way of life, he is it. Tozer said, Jesus is not one of many ways to approach God, nor is he even just the best of several ways. He is the only way. He is the only way. In preparing this message, I was wondering what some of the world religions would think of this text, and I looked up some words of a Hindu. And he said, for Jesus to utter such words, he must have been narrow-minded and arrogant. That man got the meaning. He recognized the exclusive nature of it. Christ is only the way. This particular man was saying that among the Hindus and the Buddhists, there are many, and they believe that all religions are the way to God. They like their way, and in the end, all get to God, choose the way that suits you. Jesus said, definitely not. I only am the way. What does the Muslim think of these words? The Muslim says they ought not to be in the Bible. And so the Muslim will say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but I do not believe that Jesus would ever have said that. And like so much in the Gospel of John, they put a line through it. They say it could not be so. Christ would not have spoken in that way. And every false religion, if they are honest, they will have to see that these words are very exclusive. All good works religions are condemned in these words. Baptism is not the way. Though baptism, of course, has its very important place. The Lord's table is not the way, though again that has a very important place. Tithing is not the way, though again that has a very important place. Church attendance is not the way, though again how important that is. Jesus Christ alone is the way. These words surely also expose the folly of the atheist. For the atheist says that this discussion about the way is needless. They say there is no destination. What a miserable life that is to live. But Christ said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the need of the sinner is that he would be brought to the Father. If he is not brought to the Father in salvation, he will stand before God, seeing God as the great judge. We have this exclusive nature of what the Lord is saying here. How foolish of men to think that he would know better than God. Isaiah the prophet said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Very often we think of that word wicked, we think of the worst of men. The word wicked there simply means the condemned one. Let the condemned one, whether he is a religious man condemned or a non-religious man and condemned, it in a sense matters not. If a man is without Christ and condemned, let him forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return, or let him turn unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. How is it so? Because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I was thinking about those words, the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How often in the scriptures the word life is connected with the word belief. John, in explaining his motivation in writing John's gospel, shows us that, John 20:31. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Again, John explaining why he wrote 1 John, he says in chapter 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:16 that there was a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And as we think of that link between life and believing, isn't there a challenge then in John 14:6? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The text is a challenge to the sinner. Will you believe? Will you believe? Will you come? There is a way. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is opened, and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus, how it ought to be our prayer this evening that sinners around us who are without Christ, that they will be brought to see this exclusive claim, and yet what a wonderful truth it is. Christ is the way that's set before them. How we long that sinners will indeed choose life, come to the way and be saved. We trust the Lord will bless his word this evening to all of our hearts. Amen. Amen.